Good morning. It's certainly good to be with you this morning. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I'm thankful that we have this opportunity to be together. We're glad to be back, and I'm glad that we can finish this series of lessons as we've been studying the Sermon on the Mount. As we think about the Sermon on the Mount, it touches every area of life as it relates to living in the kingdom of God. Very quickly, as you go back to Matthew chapter 5, Jesus talks about our perspective of self in the Beatitudes. In Matthew 5, 1 through 12. In Matthew 5, 13 through 16, He talks about our perspective of the world. As citizens of God's kingdom, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We'll notice that in Matthew 5, 17 through 20, Jesus talks about our perspective of the Word. As citizens, we are obedient to the King's demands. As you continue to go through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about our perspective as to how we relate to one another. He also talks about our perspective concerning moral issues. We are to be kind. We are to be loving toward one another. And then I believe at the end there, Jesus gives us the greatest challenge when He says that we are to love our enemies as our Father has loved us. Jesus also talks about our perspective when it comes to religious activities. Fasting, prayer, giving of alms. He talks about all of these things at the beginning of Matthew chapter 6. Still in chapter 6, Jesus talks about our perspective as it relates to the material. Remember in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19, Jesus encourages us to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And we see in all of chapter 6, Jesus encourages us to invest in spiritual things. But then we come to chapter 7, and Jesus teaches us what our perspective should be toward religion. All of chapter 7 has to do with religion. As you study the Sermon on the Mount, never forget Matthew chapter 5, verse number 20. We may refer to Matthew 5, verse 20 as the thematic statement where Jesus said in Matthew 5, 20, "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." As you know, the Pharisees and the scribes were self-righteous. They were egocentric. And therefore, they became totally condemning, condescending, and judgmental of others. I guess the classic illustration of what we're talking about as when it comes to the Pharisees and the scribes is found in Luke chapter 18, the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And remember how the Pharisee viewed himself as being self-righteous? "I am not as other men are." Again, they viewed themselves as being above everyone else. And therefore, they became judgmental of everyone else. Well, as we turn our attention to Matthew chapter 7, 1 through 12, here in Matthew 7, 1 through 12, Jesus talks about human relations. You know, there are a lot of books written about behavioral psychology, but Jesus says more about human relations in chapter 7, 1 through 12 than all of them put together. He has an amazing way of summing up the world of human relations in simplistic terms. Just look at Matthew 7, verse number 12. In Matthew 7, verse number 12, Jesus says, "Therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them." The golden rule. That really sums up human relations. How we relate to one another. And so as you look at chapter 7, 1 through 12, Jesus is talking about how we relate to one another. More specifically, in verses 1 through 6, He teaches us what not to do. In 7 through 12, He teaches us what to do. Now, maybe you're thinking, as we've looked at this information, as we look at the introduction, well, how does this all fit into the realm of religion? In other words, how does human relations fit into the subject, the big picture of religion? Remember what I said at the very beginning. Jesus teaches us what our perspective should be toward religion. This is all of chapter 7, but how does that relate to human relations? Simply by understanding the way we relate to one another can affect our religion to Jesus Christ. The way we treat one another can affect our religion. We want our religion to be pure and undefiled before God. The language of James chapter 1, verse number 27. And we want our religion to be pure and meaningful. We need to think how we relate to others. And so with this in mind, let's begin reading Matthew chapter 7. And we want to read down through verse number 6. Jesus begins here in chapter 7, verse number 1. "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite," verse number 5, "first cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Now, as you begin looking at Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1, it's obvious from the context that Jesus is forbidding something. What is Jesus forbidding here in Matthew chapter 7? I think that it's clear that Jesus is forbidding judgment. But as you look at the context, exactly what is Jesus Christ forbidding? Is He forbidding all judgment? Or is Jesus forbidding a certain kind of judgment? As you know, Matthew 7 verse number 1 and Matthew 7 verse number 12 are probably the most quoted verses. How many times have you heard someone say, "Well, we shouldn't judge anyone because of what Jesus said in Matthew 7 verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. Period. End of story." And that's usually where people want to leave it. But what exactly is Jesus forbidding? You know, as you continue to read verse number 5 to me, I have this written out in my Bible by verse number 5. Key passage. Anytime you study a context, You want to look for key passages that really help you understand exactly what Jesus is saying, what He is forbidding here in Matthew chapter 7. Well, as you look at verse number 5, notice what Jesus says again. He says, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam that is in thy own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye." Jesus, from the context, is forbidding hypocritical judgment. This would also include hypercritical judgment, being excessively judgmental of others. In other words, there's a wrong kind of judgment, and then there's a right kind of judgment that we must follow and practice. There are three things that I want to highlight from verses 1 through 6 for your consideration this morning. Number one, Jesus says, "With what judgment you judge, you, God will judge you." As we've already said, the Pharisees developed their own system of righteousness, and they were holding everybody else to this system, but they believed they themselves were exempt from this system of righteousness. Let me show you what I'm talking about. If you would, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2. And again, Romans chapter 2 would be a key passage to put by Matthew chapter 7, because it really gives us a good picture of the hypocritical judgment that Jesus is forbidding here in Matthew chapter 7. Now, as you turn over to Romans chapter 2, Paul is specifically speaking to the Jews here in Romans chapter 2. And he says, beginning at verse number 1, "Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another," listen to it, "thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things." Again, they devised a system that they held others to, but they themselves believed they were exempt. In other words, they were passing judgment upon others without considering their own lives. And so, number one, Jesus wants us to understand, with what judgment you judge, God will judge you. And then number two, with what measure you use, God will measure it to you. As we've already pointed out about the Pharisees and the scribes, they were unloving, they were unmerciful, they were unforgiving. And Jesus says, whatever standard you use to judge, God will apply the same to you. And so by Matthew 7 verse 2, you may want to jot down James chapter 2 verse number 13, because here's a practical example of what Jesus is talking about, revealed in James chapter 2 verse number 13. "For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy." And then James goes on to say that mercy rejoiceth in judgment. If that's the way you've been, have you been merciful to others in your relations with others, you can expect God to be merciful to you. Again, with what measure you use, God will measure it to you. And then going back to Matthew chapter 7, the third thing that I want you to see from this context that is so misunderstood is this last point. And then we'll make the application. Notice the last point. It's imperative that we practice righteous judgment. John chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteously." It's imperative from this very context that we practice righteous judgment. And you know, in the middle or at the end of this context, Jesus says something that I believe is very unique. In fact, a lot of times when people read this passage, you find them kind of just scratching their head. Why is that there? What is the point that Jesus is making? And when you stop and really think about what Jesus is doing, the masterful teacher, He's making a very, very obvious point. Read it again with me. Verse number 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before the swine. What's the point that Jesus is making here in verse number 6? Who in the world, who in their right mind would give that which is holy to dogs? By the way, in Bible times, dogs weren't man's best friend. Okay, dogs were actually looked down upon in a very negative way. Old Testament, New Testament. Dogs, again, were looked down upon. In fact, you'll notice in the New Testament, Paul refers to false teachers, Philippians 3, verse 1, as dogs. Beware of dogs. And so there's a reason why Jesus is using this terminology at this time. People look down upon dogs. Who in the right mind would give that which is holy to their dogs? And then number 2, neither cast ye pearls before swine. Who in their right mind would even do that? The point that Jesus is making, you have to use judgment. You have to use judgment in matters. If you don't use any kind of judgment, that's exactly what you will be doing. You will be giving that which is holy to the dogs. You'll give your pearls before the swine. Don't do that. You have to use judgment. And we have to be balanced in our judgments. We have to judge within the realm of what Scriptures reveal. And the Scriptures are very clear. But as you look at Matthew chapter 7, understand that Jesus Christ is not forbidding all judgment. He is forbidding a certain kind of judgment. Hypocritical judgment. Hypercritical judgment. Now what I want to do is we make the application. I want to simply look at several passages that emphasize the need of making righteous judgment. The need of making judgment in order to do what is right. Let's begin looking at a couple of passages. Let's begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. As we look at these passages, keep in mind the context. For example, as you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul is writing to the brethren at Corinth. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there was a specific situation at hand that Paul was dealing with. You'll notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, there was a man that was living in fornication. He was doing it openly. The congregation at Corinth pretty much closed their eyes. They weren't doing anything about it. Paul, writing by inspiration, instructs the brethren there to remove the leaven, to deal with the brother that was living in sin. And you'll notice that they were to ultimately withdraw fellowship from this individual. In fact, he begins in verse number 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with covetous or extortioners or with idolaters, for then must ye needs to go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any brother that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such a one not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, without God judges. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Go back to verse number 3. You go back to verse number 3, Paul receives this report about this individual living in fornication. He says, for I verily, as absent in body, but present in the spirit, listen to it, have judged already as though I were present. Don't say from Matthew chapter 7 that Jesus is forbidding all judgment, because that's not what Matthew chapter 7 is teaching. Jesus is forbidding hypocritical judgment. Paul here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, practice righteous judgment. Now, if you were just to set aside all judgment, how would Paul be able to judge this brother? How would Paul be able to tell the brethren of Corinth, you withdraw from this one that is living disorderly? Friends, the only way that you can do that is by practicing righteous judgment. You look at his life, you look at the fruit that he is producing, and in order to take action to help this brother who is living in sin, you have to practice judgment. That's why Paul says, based upon the way this man is living, I have judged this man already. Friends, it's imperative that if we're going to be God's spiritual people, we have to practice righteous judgment. Let me give you another example. In Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6. And really, I promise you, we can do this all day. We can sit here and look at passage after passage after passage that emphasizes the need for practicing judgment. Not hypocritical, hypercritical, but righteous judgment. Now, as we look at Galatians chapter 6, I believe Galatians chapter 6 really fits the context here of Matthew chapter 7. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Notice how, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Question, how are you going to know if a brother or sister has been overtaken in a fault? How are you going to determine that? The only way that you're going to be able to determine that is by practicing righteous judgment. Now, with that in mind, I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, verse number 3, Jesus says, why beholdest the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? You know, when we practice judgment, the first thing that we need to do is examine our own selves. That's where it starts. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to look at our life. We need to take care of our own business first. And as we examine ourselves, and when we see that we're right with God and that our heart is right, our motive is right, Jesus goes on to say that we will be able to see clearly to remove the speck out of our brother's eye. You see, even in the context of Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is encouraging us to practice judgment, righteous judgment. But before you do that, you need to be sure you're not practicing hypocritical judgment. You need to be sure that you're not telling a brother or sister, hey, you shouldn't be doing this or that, and you know what? You're doing the same thing. You're doing it. You need to look at self first, be right with God before you can practice righteous judgment. This was so far from what the Pharisees were doing. They were holding everybody else to their standard, but they in their own mind believed they were exempt from that. We notice that already in chapter 2, and that's why Jesus says in Matthew 7 verse 5, "You hypocrite." He's warning, He's forbidding hypocritical judgment. Not all judgment across the board. Remember, there's the right kind of judgment, then there's the wrong kind of judgment. In order to be God's spiritual people, we have to practice righteous judgment. Let me give you one more example, and please add to the list. There are many more passages that you can look at, and you can just add to the list to establish the point. Turn over, if you would, to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. In fact, while we're in Romans chapter 10, I'll bring up another example in the negative. While we're right here, it's easy to turn to the next passage, but here in Romans chapter 10, verse number 1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be" what? "Saved." Paul recognized that his own kinsmen who were outside of Christ were lost. What is Paul doing here in Romans chapter 10? He's practicing righteous judgment. Dear friends, how in the world can we even take the gospel to the lost, to a lost and dying world, if we're not practicing righteous judgment? You have to practice judgment if you're going to seek and to save that which is lost. As you're reasoning, as you're talking with people outside of Christ, you have to practice judgment to help them understand their need to obey the Christ, the author of eternal salvation. But let me give you another example here in the book of Romans. Look at Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Sometimes in a study like this, studying the subject of judgment, somebody may turn over here to Romans chapter 14 and ask, "Well, what about verse number 13? And really, it's a good question. Listen to what Paul says in verse number 13. "Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Again, some will go to Romans 14 verse 13 like Matthew 7 verse 1. See right there? We're not to judge. We're not to practice any kind of judgment. We shouldn't judge one another. First of all, when somebody says that, you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 3. And what did Paul say about that brother living in fornication? "I have judged him already. I have judged him already." There's not a contradiction in Scripture. Scripture never contradicts itself. I would encourage you to go back to Romans chapter 14 and read the context. And what Paul is forbidding here in Romans 14 verse number 13 is overcritical judgment. In essence, stop criticizing one another when it comes to eating of meats, when it comes to certain days. Don't judge one another in those matters. And you know, in a very practical way, there are a lot of practical things that we can mention. There are some things that we are not to judge one another in. And here's one that just kind of comes to the top of my mind. How we educate our children. What do you mean by that, how we educate our children? Whether we homeschool, whether we send them to public school. You may think that's kind of silly, but I've listened to brethren and heard brethren with my own ears that really get caught up and wrapped up and even become judgmental in those matters with one another. How you educate your children. You shouldn't judge one another in how you do that, whether you homeschool, whether you send them to public school. Remember what we said. When we make judgments, those judgments are to be within the boundaries of the Scriptures. And here, in Romans chapter 14, there were Christians who were stepping outside of those boundaries. They were criticizing one another over the eating of meats. Verse 13, Paul says, don't do that. Don't judge one another in those matters. But again, like Jesus, He is not forbidding all judgment. There is a righteous judgment that we must practice. We're not to be hypocritical. We're not to be self-righteous. We're not to be hypercritical of one another. And when we judge, and when we practice judgment, we're to examine ourselves. We need to be sure there's not a beam in our own eye so that we can see clearly to help our brother as we go through this life. You know, as we stop and as we think about the Pharisees, their hypocritical judgment marked who they were. Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 7, if you're going to be a citizen of my kingdom, you cannot act like that. You cannot behave that way. You cannot treat one another like that as a citizen of God's kingdom. May God help us be the kind of students that God wants us to be, to rightly divide the word of truth so that we can understand context like Matthew chapter 7 that are so many times abused. Because we see from Matthew 7, we can see from our study this morning that Jesus Christ is not forbidding all judgment. He's forbidding hypocritical judgment. You know, as we speak about judgment, when Christ returns again, there is going to be a judgment day. According to 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. As we think about the subject of judgment, let me ask you this morning, are we ready to stand before God? Are we ready to stand before that judgment seat of Christ and to give an account of everything that we've done? I promise you, the judgment that we receive on that day will be a righteous judgment. It will be right. If you never obeyed the gospel, we want to encourage you to prepare for that day. We want to encourage you to hear the gospel and to believe it with all of your heart, to repent of your sins, to confess Christ, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins so that you can become a New Testament Christian. If you are a New Testament Christian, we want to encourage you this morning to be faithful unto death, to live in view of that judgment day. And as we go through life, as we follow the Scriptures, as we live for God, God is helping us to be prepared for that day. If we can help you this morning in any way, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.